All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com on this Saturday morning, visiting with Brian Hutton on the WRMJ Sportsline. Before we turn back to the Sherrard chapter, you know, you mentioned Phil Bodine. I thought your staff that you had assembled here over the years, I know Marcus Bush, now a principal, had to take a step back, but guys like that that helped you out. I thought you had some pretty good guys helping you here.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, it goes way back to that first year. And it seems like, unfortunately, people don't like working with me because every year I was having to replace a high school coach. But, you know, Mark Archer was, I think, my first sophomore coach. And then he had some family commitments. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to have a lot of political discussions on the bus.
Yeah,
rides and stuff. So I kind of missed that part of it. But Kyle Matlick, you know, steps in and did a great job for us for a couple of years. But you go right down the list. And then this year, you know, Coach Lang was with us for a couple years. He said Coach Bush, you know, kind of did his thing in and out this year. He talked about being in the gym a lot this year, but I think he was probably in there maybe about, you know, 10 total days because being a principal, too big of a big shot to come into high school gym now. But, Coach Robertson, it was great to meet him this year. But Phil Bodine, I got to give him so much credit because you talk about a guy that gets paid very, very poorly as a volunteer assistant coach. He put in the time and effort, and I think the kids really appreciate him. He was kind of that fireball all the time that they need and at the start of games, and so he just did a tremendous job.
Well, and I think one of the interesting storylines in all this, if I remember correctly, the relationship with you and Coach Bodine is Coach Hutton, Coach Phil Bodine, Sherrard Tiger player, wasn't necessarily the greatest. I understand it. Maybe he had a come to Jesus moment, or he gets it down the road. And I talked to, it was funny, I talked to a school board member that kind of said the same thing to me, an area school board member. I'm not going to say what school, but said, I remember at the time, hey, I don't maybe appreciate some of these methods that this Hutton dude's going through. But now, you know, 20 years later, I get it now. Yeah. But unfortunately, sometimes that doesn't save you in the current year.
Right. It's kind of interesting. Phil's a kid that, you know, as a high school player, played the point guard position. And if there's ever a position you want to avoid being with me, is the point guard. And Rashawn this year, we had to have a conversation when Ben was out for us that, hey, you know what, being the point guard, you're never going to do anything right. And I got to talk to Coach Bush last night, and I said, you know, one of the things my philosophy's always been with point guards is if you do something wrong, that's all your fault. If somebody else on the floor does something wrong, it's partly your fault. And I can still remember when Phil was a junior, he came off the floor and he was just furious with me because we were having problems getting kids to stop taking quick shots. And we were coming down the floor and just firing up the shots after 2-3 passes. And I got after him, and I remember him still going, how am I going to get him to stop shooting? And I said, if you can't be my point guard, I'll find somebody else. And it is. It's a tough position. And I know his junior year, Phil will probably tell you because he hated me with a passion. His junior or senior year, we got a lot closer, and I think he understood what I expected out of a point guard, and he came a long, long ways. But it is tough, and I think sometimes it's where kids come up and later on say, I kind of get it now. I mean, I still agree with everything you did, but I kind of get why you did what you did.
All right, so let's talk about coming full circle, and, you know, maybe a perfect way to end your coaching run is going back to Sherrard. So I kind of heard a little bit of it, you know, kind of after the season when I heard Kelly resigned, the rumblings were, you know, the administration maybe over there was going to try and see if Hutton would be interested in coming back. You know, and this is me speaking as a parent and not the radio broadcaster. My kid played in the program. I'm fortunate. I'm glad he got to play for you. So you know where I stand. People out there, they know where I stand. They can either support my position or not like my position, but you were decent to my You weren't always decent to my son, but I get why. Hey, man. So I'm from a Mercer County standpoint, I'm sad you're going back to Sherrard. Okay, that's from a Mercer County standpoint. But from a WRMJ guy that's been here since 1990, great story. You know, going back to where I thought the 14-year run you were there, I mean, that was just, to me, that was some great high quality high school basketball in that 14-year era. I mean, when you started in the what was it, 90, maybe like 94?
Yeah,
was that
94.
The first year?
Yep.
And then just all those seasons after that. And I think about that era, you know, when I think when you first started, Sandholm was at Knoxville, mm-hmm. right? Wurzba was at Farmington. So we're getting back into the old, you know, let's get back this Olympic yeah. conference. Hey, Dave Taylor and then Sean Taylor at Macomb. Coach Grant was, of course, Kuznarek was at Monmouth, who was a great coach. And then Chuck Grant came in. And then you had Olsen at Orion. Lynn Cross had great things going here at Aledo before he left. So you just kind of look at all those, you know, personalities in those programs and what it really meant at that era to play games on Tuesday nights and Friday nights in the Olympic Conference in those battles, man.
You talk about high-pressure basketball, and that's what it was about. You know, you take a look at you know, Farmington was one of those. You know, you talk about those kind of being in bad situations, and it seems like when I was at Sherrard, you know, we had Farmington that just went on that incredible run under Coach Wurzba when they went to state a couple times, and they were just a phenomenal basketball team. And you take a look at the Macomb and Sean Taylor, you talk about intensity on the sideline. I know he's kind of probably matured a little bit too, but I can still remember going down and scouting Macomb Rock Ridge and him calling back-to-back timeouts. And the only thing he did for both times that was scream at his kids. And it was a fun time of basketball. And I think that when you take a look at that, I don't want to call it the golden age of basketball around here, but those are some pretty intense rivalries and the gyms were packed and it was just a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, I still, you know, I remember two of my favorite moments ever at in that era when you were coaching at Sherrard. I always give Wurzba a bunch of, I always give him a hard time about, because I'll never forget the statewide media conference. The year they finished, it was 33-1. So they got beat in the state semifinal game and then won the third place game. So they had one loss that year. In the statewide media conference, he was talking about one of the motivations. He said, yeah, one of the guys that coaches in our conference after a post game on a radio station in Aledo, he wouldn't say the call letters. He said, radio station in Aledo, he called our guys a bunch of midgets. And I always say to him, I'm like, hey, man, when you going to give me credit? When you going to give Hutton credit for that 33-1
He never
season?
Will.
No.
He never will. Yeah, and those were fun. And I thought, you know, Tom, he's a phenomenal, not just a basketball coach, he's a phenomenal coach, period. He had great success as a softball coach as well. But he always had this look that he gave you down the sideline. Like when he was beating you and he knew he was going to beat you, he kind of had that yeah. game over. And I still, one of my favorite games coaching was when Nick Heyer and those guys, and Pete Ullman and those guys were seniors. And we went down through a terrible, terrible snowstorm. Storm to get to Farmington, which is of course a fun place to drive on a bus, period, let alone through a snowstorm. And we were down 17 going into the
and that was that top of the key three, right?
Yeah, and we came back and
the
beat him. But yeah, and Tom had actually about midway through the third quarter gave that patented Tom Wurzba, yeah, we're beating you bad, look down my bench, and we came back and beat him and he walked through the huddle. I don't know if I've ever seen him quite so quiet, but yeah, he had just a phenomenal.
Yeah, because the post game was like that year, Farmington basically kind of hang in there, but they had a lot of kids that were, you know, under 6 foot, but they knocked down three. So you'd kind of pull within like six or five, and then they'd hit three threes in a row, and you're down 14 or 16. And you're like something like, yeah, they're running around like midgets and throwing up threes.
I think the actual comment was, when you look at them, you're thinking, how can this team be very good because they look like a bunch of midgets? Because they were. They were a very tiny
those
team.
Were your, but... Those apparently were your politically incorrect days.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget, too. And that one year, Tom Siegel, I know they call him Siegel, but I was told his correct pronunciation is Siegel, the head coach at Rock Island. And I remember the year you guys went up to Rock, we went up to Rock Falls and we played up there, and it was senior day. And they read like War and Peace for each kid, right? And you guys hung in there. And was that their state championship year or the year before? It was in that era when Brian Vance and all those dudes played, and Jorge Acosta, they had really good players. And you were kind of hanging in there, and there was that inbounds play late in the game where the kid had the baseball pass and threw it right in the nose of one of the
Travis Haynes.
Travis Haynes. So there was no call. Kid was bloodied right on the nose. Did he have to come out of the game, or did you? Because I know you're like arguing. You know, if you're not going to call a technical, you got to leave that kid in the game if he's got the bloody nose. So I remember the game ended, and this is like for you. This is like. You said, you know, even from an officiating standpoint, we just always concentrate on the negative aspect of it, and not necessarily the whole. This is your like admission of guilt, not the whole production. But you came on for some reason like right after that game, and I look because
I think it was like 12:30 at night if yeah, I remember correctly.
So I'm like when you're at Rock Falls, it's like Kiwani where you broadcast in the corner. So I look back, I notice somebody coming, and I'm like, and it's Coach Hutton, and I'm like, oh man, what, he's here already? So he sits down, and I remember I segued out of like a commercial break into our open, and I said, well, you know, welcome back to the WRMJ Coach's Corner, and Coach Brian Hutton is with us. Man, the Sherrard kids, they battle hard, came back, made a game of it, had a chance, and I'm like, you know, we don't need, I'm not going to let you talk about the officials, you know, we can just talk about the effort of the kids or whatever, the hard-fought game, and you kind of pause before you started talking, and you're like, yeah. He goes, yeah, we don't need to talk about the officials, and you pause. He's like, they're this, 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 and this, like every adjective. I'm like, oh, okay.
You promised you were going to burn the tape, I believe.
So that was heat of the moment, and yeah. I think most people understand that. But that was one of my favorite moments.
Not only was it senior, I also think they had like a dedication to their new weight room.
Yeah, and it was like like every kid, though, they read like a book about
it. Yeah, and then they did the same thing
with
the community members.
It was a middle-of-the-week game, too, yeah. Like a Tuesday night game.
And I think we had some kids sick that game as well, and it was tense. And I thought we were going to actually have a fight break out between Mrs. Haynes at the time and some of the Rock Falls people. I'm not sure we're going to win this battle here in the middle of Rock Falls. But, yeah, those are some intense moments. And sometimes as a coach, you get done with those moments, go, what did I just do? And you kind of have to say, let's not let that happen.
People got under, again, you know, in sports, you have to understand heat of the moment sometimes, and you shouldn't have to apologize. It's a 10-minute cooling off. People need to understand some of that. Now, if you're calling kids dumb, things of that nature, yeah, that's crossing the line. But if it's heat of the moment in the course of a game, you know, unfortunately in today's culture, a lot of people don't understand that. I still appreciate heat of the moment. I think it's very important in interscholastic athletics.
Right, and as a parent, you got to give them, you know, you got to understand their point of view too. It's like that's my child you're talking to right there, and you know, they obviously invest a lot of time and love and energy with their kids, and to see your kid getting dismantled by a coach once in a while is probably not the easiest thing to do.
No, but I always reflect back to my old friend Nat's uncle, and he just uses this is just as it relates to football, but I use the lesson as every sport. He's like, Jim, mean things happen to you when you play football. And that's the course of competition. Your opponent wants to beat you. You know, your coach wants you to get better. You know,
right.
And sometimes you're not going to like what that coach has to say in trying to get you better.
Yeah, and I tell you, the thing that you know, you take a look at some of the things that I, as a person and as a coach, one of the things I hate the most is wasted potential. And in everything that I do, whether it be in teaching, whether it be in coaching, raising my own kids and stuff, I hate wasted potential. My son, Ben, love him to death. But the words he uses with me that drive me insane is when he's in high school is, it's good enough. I go, I hate good enough. That's not what we're about. And it's trying to get kids to get a push out to that fullest potential sometimes is frustrating because sometimes kids don't see it. They don't see, you know, use Jordan Madcap. That kid has so much more room for growth. And as I said earlier, I've talked to a couple of college coaches about him just from the standpoint of he may even as a freshman year in college not be the player you want him to be, but the potential's there. The nice thing about Jordan is I think he understands that and he continues to pursue it and he's going to do anything you ask him to do. But sometimes you run into those kids that just don't get what their potential could be. And, you know, you take a look at players that get distracted by things that happen in the game. And I won't mention any names at all, but I'm saying if they understand the idea that those type of distractions from the game take away from the potential, that drives me insane. So it's one of those things that as a coach, there's a couple things that'll get to me, you know, hustling and not doing those things that are choices, not skill issues, drive me insane. The other thing is the idea that you have so much potential, you're not using it, just is not, it's not something acceptable to me.
Well, and from a personal standpoint, going back now to Sherrard, I mean, does that bring back the full enjoyment from coaching there before? I don't know if you do. You understand what I mean?
I'm not sure it's hit me yet.
Where some of that's tarnished. I mean, even though you had the fond memories of Sherrard, mm-hmm. You know how it ended initially. You're like, you have to understand that you have to have some hard feelings, especially initially, after it happens, where that maybe will lessen some of the enjoyment from the previous 14 seasons. I mean, do you feel that you're going to get some of that?
It's like I said, I don't know if it's totally hit me yet. It's one of those things that I'm still, you know, trying to go through. I think next year I'm going to be back at Sherrard. Next year I won't have to get in my car and drive to practice, you know, spend 20 minutes driving to practice. I might miss some of those times. Sometimes it's a nice little time to think about basketball and listen to some basketball coaching books on tape and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think I've got the full understanding. I meet with the players on Wednesday of this next coming up week, and I think that'll be a little bit more where it kind of brings back the reality. But, you know, the question when I went through the interview process, Coach Munson is a good friend of mine, and so happy for him that he gets this opportunity finally at Sherrard to get things going. And you know, he said in the interview, he goes, is there any of that animosity, any hard feelings? And I go, you know what, I got over it. And one of the things that people that don't know me, because they see the outward me, they don't see the inward me, don't understand, is I'm a very, very reflective person. When I look at my time at Sherrard, I look back and I go on, you know, I made a lot of mistakes as a coach. You know, I said some things I probably shouldn't have said to kids. And that's the part that you try to learn from as a person. I'm never going to be a perfect person in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to be a perfect coach. I'm going to do the best job I can. But at the same time, I will reflect on, after every season, I reflect, what could I have done different from an X and O standpoint, from a motivational standpoint, from dealing with kids. It's something I have to do. And so I'm kind of over the Sherrard thing as far as what happened the first time around. I'm excited to get back in the gym and get working with the kids. It's kind of weird. People are, you know, talking about, you know, it's be nice to get to know the kids. I'm going to have to. A lot of the basketball players I don't have in class. And I don't know if it's because of the, you know, the fake threats I made to make them all ineligible and they ever played us or what, but I've only had a couple of basketball kids in my class over this past year. And so it's going to be nice to get to know them as athletes as well.
But I mean, too, though, when you look back at the 8 years when you've coached at Mercer County, though, you've had to have some basketball kids, though, in class. You know, that's the one of the weird things probably from your standpoint where you don't necessarily like it that I'm not coaching these kids at Sherrard. I'm coaching these kids at Mercer County. So, yeah, I get that. I'm in the classroom with them, but, you know, we want to beat them. So you don't have to – I mean, there's not that contrast, I guess, anymore.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, it is tough. It is tough because, you know, you have kids in the classroom, and after we beat them in the regional, you know, it's like I can't go in there and sit there and talk about this and that with them. I mean, it's just it's different. Where if you know you're coaching at the school you teach at, you have a big win, you can talk to the kids about it, and so that part of it becomes a little bit more enjoyable. And maybe not getting home from Stark County 11:30 and then having to drive 40 minutes home is going to be a big plus as well. But
that's even if you live in driving
that's
back
true.
Stark County or Prince.
But it'll be interesting. Like I said, it's one of the things I felt like I always was missing down at here at Mercer County was that daily connection with the kids where you saw them not only just from, you know, December all the way through March and stuff, but you saw them November all the way through March, but you see them every day. During football season, you say, hey, good luck tonight, or during baseball season, hey, good luck at your doubleheader tonight, and you miss that when you don't teach in the same school.
You know, when I look back to when you coached your first run through there, and I look at kind of the connection of coaching staffs, and I look at when Neil Gawley coached baseball there, when Pat Elder coached football, when Brian Hutton coached basketball, you know, I thought just like the continuity and the connection. And I think that's people, you know, don't underestimate the connection. And sometimes I think that's like, I'm not going to pick out any schools or any coaches or whatever, but I can tell in my 25 years when I see the connection at various schools and when I don't see the connection. Now, at that era at Sherrard, I saw the connection. And what I look at now when you're going back, I think the equation is there because I know the connection you've had with Munson, and you guys coached basketball together back in the day, and him being the head football coach, and then – you know, Pete Ullman, who played for you and liked playing for you, is the baseball coach. You know, and the wrestling program's on solid footing. So, I mean, those kind of connections, I think, are pretty important that are in place when you're going back, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. I think when you talk about the philosophy of sports, you know, a lot of times when you get into your individual sports, people, you know, basketball coaches hang with basketball coaches and stuff, but there comes a point in time where coaching is coaching. And, you know, I went out to, I used to go to Bobby Knight's clinic when he was at Indiana years ago, and he said the really good coaches can coach any sport. And I look at Cully Walter, and I'm thinking, that kid, I could coach anything he wanted to coach, and he'd be a great coach at it because he had that. And I think sometimes when you get coaching, coaches that have that same feel for what athletics are all about, it just makes it so much easier. And, you know, when Pat was there, and I have so much respect for Pat Elder as a football coach. What that guy does is, to me, incredible. I think one of the greatest seasons in Chard football, they finished 4-5, is his first year there. And everybody's looking at that team going, if they win a game, they're lucky. And they were just a few plays away from making the play, or possibly being the playoffs.
Well, that was the year. Was 98 his first year there?
I believe so, yeah.
And that's what he had. That was the year Rock Ridge got to state, and I remember he had them on the ropes that Friday night over at Girard.
Well, and if you tell Pat, it's just like one or two calls, and the game goes the other way. But the thing is, and he's a phenomenal coach, and people don't understand it because, you know, you take a look at some of the things he does and says, well, it's pretty simple what he does, but it's like, yeah, he does it really, really well. Right. But I think you're right. I think when you take a look at the philosophies of the coaching staff out at Girard right now, I think there's a lot of the sameness in it when it deals with athletics and what athletics are all about. And I'm looking forward to working with that. And then you look at the flip side of that with Doug Swanson and coaching the girls program and Erica Slattery, the volleyball. I think you're starting to get that coaches that all kind of see how athletics is supposed to work. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. So what about the reflective moment of actually when you take to the floor next season? Now, hopefully, and this is what I'm going to say. This is me preaching to you. Please get back in the Orient tournament.
Well, we're going
to
try.
They need to. Girard needs to be in that Orient tournament and get into Erie. That's a great tournament.
It is. They do.
So Girard needs to try to get into Erie tournament as well, but not necessarily the first game, you know. But when you walk back on the home floor next year and coach back at Girard.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And like I said, it's one of those things. I've actually gone into the gym. You talk, coaches can be kind of weird sometimes. And over the last couple of weeks, I've actually walked into the gym and just kind of trying to picture things being back the way they were. I know one of the big changes we're going to make, and this is going to shock fans, is we are moving our bench back to the other side. That's how for 14 years, we coach. We were right when you came in, and it's one of those things that, is that a big deal? No, but it's just the way we did things. But
and you're getting, and they hire you as basketball coach, and they extend the athletic budget and you get a wood floor.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the big thing. Hopefully that'll get done. I know they're talking about maybe having to wait an additional year now, but hopefully that'll get done because that gym, you know, facility-wise up there is incredible. That's probably the biggest adjustment I had coming down here was trying to run practices in a much smaller facility. And, you know, Mercer County did a nice job with their gym renovations, but it's still a pretty tight gym at times. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things go. And like I said, this summer we'll get back to work and being in the gym for open gyms, and we'll actually start some of those here with the kids that aren't out for anything here in the spring. And just being back in that gym is going to be a bit unusual.
All right. And then, you know, as we wrap up, too, I think the other thing I've noticed about Girard that I like, the administrative team that's in place. I'm a big Michael Applegate fan. Think he's a young guy. They hired the right guy to bring into that school. A lot of energy. And I think he's got a vested interest. He's there. You know what I'm saying? He's not just the AD. He's the AD that is there. I haven't met, is it Warrington? Is mm-hmm. But I've heard a lot of great things from a teaching staff standpoint, which is, I think, is good to hear. And I think Alan Boucher is a great superintendent as it relates to what athletics means to a school district and that combination with academics. What do you think? I think the administrative team, and I'm not disrespecting any of the other administrative teams anywhere. I don't want to get into that. But I just think from an athletic standpoint, an extracurricular standpoint, I think Girard's got some pretty strong pieces of the puzzle in place from that standpoint.
Well, without a doubt. And that's one of the things when you take a look at why I applied and why I went back, or I'm going back, I wouldn't be doing that if I didn't trust the administration. And it's one of those things when I take a look at it, you know, Mike Appley, I can't say enough about that guy right now, and other than the fact that he needs to accept my offer as a freshman coach. But when I take a look at that, it is, I would not be going back to Girard to coach if the administration, I didn't feel comfortable with the administration. And I feel very, very comfortable with the administration. And so far, so impressed with what Mr. Warrington's done, Mr. Applegate. They've just been incredible. And, you know, talk about Mr. Applegate, it's a guy that he doesn't live in the district right now, but he's a guy that he seems to be totally invested in what Chart Athletics is all about.
All right, Ty, my son's working here today.
Boy.
You have anything bad to say to Coach Hutton before you leave?
No, nothing bad.
All right. I'm just joking. So you got one. Ty
was one of those kids who was one of those weird kids coach, because once in a while he just would start. His junior year, I don't think he said more than like 7 words. His senior year, we couldn't get him to shut up. I mean, it was just one of those things that it's like, what happened here? But yeah, Ty's another of those kids that did a great job for us and had a very good senior year. Showed a lot of passion at times too, Galva and Erie in particular. But there are tough times. We were a little worried about him, but he's a fun kid to coach.
All right, Coach, I can't wait till next November rolls around, man, covering the Sherrard Tigers.
I'm already excited.
Congratulations. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for coming in, and thanks for your 8 years at Mercer County.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
All right, Brian Hutton with us on WRMJ. That'll wrap it up on this Saturday morning.
At Country Financial, we want to help you plan for a future you can own. That means protecting what you have now. So we offer door-to-door protection, from your car door to your home door. Coverage for just about anything that might happen. Right now, you can get door-to-door protection, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25%. All backed by the exceptional service Country Financial offers. So talk to your Country Financial representative to build a plan that includes our multi-